Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. Tonight, I'm going to be joined by Leo Holman, and then I'm going to talk to you about Hamas, part two. And then we'll be joined by Annie Cyrus. She was born and raised in Iran. She's an expert on Islam. I'm going to let her critique live. Can't censor. If she doesn't like what I had to say and doesn't like what I presented, not going to be much I can do about it because it's going to be live. I'm going to let Annie Cyrus, an expert on Islam who speaks multiple languages, born and raised in Iran, who came to America, has multiple fatwas on her head. I'm going to let her tell me what she thinks about the presentation I've been doing last night and tonight, Hamas Part 1, Hamas Part 2. By the way, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they're here in America. Well, maybe you don't know them as the name Hamas. Maybe you know them as Muslim Brotherhood. Started in 1928, Muslim Brotherhood here in America. It's here in America. Started in Egypt. Muslim Brotherhood involved with Hitler, the Grand Mufti of Palestine, and then 1928, Muslim Brotherhood, 1987, Hamas, the terrorist wing, is founded, and then 1994, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. Many of our members of Congress and your state legislature, your sheriff's departments, your police departments work with CARE. Do they know they're working with a terrorist-tied organization? Hamas in America, Hamas, the terrorist organization in America, hiding under many names. Hamas Part 2 tonight to understand just how dangerous things are here in America. And then Annie will critique it. Now, before we go to Leo Holman, we got big news tonight. Mike broke it on his show tonight. Look at the screen here, folks. Mike announced it tonight. It has arrived. It is now available. My coffee. My coffee. Look at that. You can go to mystore.com, okay? Exclusively right now, only at mystore.com. Use the promo code B66. You'll save. So instead of $24.99, use that promo code B66. You'll get it for $18.74. So use the code B66. You'll save. We also will get credit. A generous portion of each purchase comes back to keep this show going. So we can help each other out tonight. Let's support Mike and all he's doing to save America, to bring us Lindell TV, to fix 2020. So here's a chance for you to be some of the first consumers of my coffee. Go to mystore.com, click right there on the banner. It'll be right there on the homepage. You won't miss it. And use that promo code B66. Now, you get the option of light roast, medium roast, dark roast, decaf, which is medium roast, whole bean or ground. So some of you like to grind your own beans, so you can do that. Some of you like to have it ground, so you can have that. So there you go. But you definitely want to try this out. I'm looking forward to getting my first bag of it. Mike was telling me just how great it is. He loves it. Loves it, loves it, loves it. Working with a family has been doing this a while. We've got some fields over... where did he say, Logan? Where did he say those fields were? What country? I can't remember. Oh, did he say Honduras? What did he say? I can't remember either. Since I'm always on the road, I enjoy drinking coffee because it keeps me energized and focused. When I created my store, I sampled a lot of very good coffees, but this one is different. It's rich, but also very smooth and low acidity. The finish is clean, and it has a pleasant aftertaste. It's delicious. It's the best coffee I have ever had. It's also roasted and packed in the USA. Love it. I love it. And I guarantee you will, too. Look at the high quality of this coffee. There you go. Beans selected from the top 2% available. 100% Arabica coffee. Arabica coffee. Certified organic. Non-GMO. Low acidity. Rich, smooth, and easy to drink. My coffee. You can also give a testimony once you get your bag and try it out. But again, we're excited to announce tonight. I guess there's commercials. I guess these film commercials, you're going to start seeing these running all over the country, I guess. And you got it. You're going to be able to say, hey, I got it the first day. I got it the first day. So use that promo code B66 so you can get the price knocked down considerably. And then we get a percentage, which helps keep this show going, this TV network going. So again, mystore.com. MyStore.com, look for the My Coffee, and use the promo code B66. And I guess, Logan, I guess they're going to overnight us a pouch, I mean a box full of it, you know, our various individual pouches, beans and the grind, ground up. And we'll be able to, you know, grind our own beans if we want. But I guess we're going to get a box with several of these in there, so it'll last us several weeks. And we're going to be able to try it right here on the air, have it on the air. Because Logan and the guys in control room are like, well, when do we get ours? When do we get ours? So we're pretty excited about it. So we're going to be trying it just like the rest of you guys. And we're going to tell you how awesome it is. All right. So I hope you'll check it out. We're all going to be right on the ground floor, the launch of My Coffee. All right. My first guest up tonight is none other than Leo Homan. Leo. Hey, Leo. How you doing?
Good. Just listening to your promo on the coffee there. When I met Mike Lindell not too many months ago, I wondered how the man had so much energy. Now I know he's drinking that coffee.
Well, Melissa knows because she was the one making pot after pot after pot. And because he does consume the coffee. So he is an expert on coffee. So when he says this is the best coffee he's ever drank, he would know.
He's going to share his secret brew with us
yes,
now.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
And it was just launched tonight on his show, you know, an hour ago. So, hour and a half ago. So
cannot wait to try that. I think he's got at least 5 years on me, but he outstrips me in energy, so I need to catch up.
Yeah, well, we're all pretty excited about it. We really are. All right. You and I have talked off the air about this incredible article, New Insight on Klaus Schwab's You will own nothing and be happy. How AI and the Internet of Things will control everything you do in your life. Now, people maybe think we're making this up, but Klaus Schwab's own video says that you will own nothing and be happy. They tell you that by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. So tell me about this new article, The Internet of All Things.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this article, Brandon, based on the comments that if you go down to the reader comments, it has really... turn some lights on in people's heads, no pun intended there, because a lot of it has to do with electronic chip advances in the modern computer world. You know, when he said you'll own nothing and be happy, I think a lot of us were scratching our heads saying, you know, how is it that we're going to own nothing? I own a lot of stuff. You know, my neighbor has more stuff than I do. I can't see all that being taken away by 2030. And what really clicked for me, Brandon, was when a friend the other day sent me an email about BMW announcing that you are now going to be charged $18 a month for heated seats in your BMW car.
Wait a minute. Like right now I push a button on my car, which is not a BMW, And I mean, I'm very frugal, so I actually share a car with my wife because I hardly ever leave the studio. So I don't need my own car. I don't want my own car. I hate driving. And a lot of times, even if I'm in the car, I often am not the one driving because I hate it so much because I did it for so many years in my motor coach traveling the country. I just hate driving. But in my car, which is not a BMW, but in my car, you push a button, I can heat and cool my seats all day long for free. So why would I have to pay $18 a month in a BMW if I owned one, which I never would?
Well, because you don't, even though you paid for that BMW, they still own it. Now, you say, well, that sounds a little extreme. This is just the beginning, paying for a heated seat. Joe Biden's administration, when they passed that big infrastructure bill, $1.4 trillion infrastructure bill a few months ago, buried within that bill was a requirement that by 2026, every vehicle produced by every car manufacturer must include a kill switch.
Okay.
So they will have the ability starting in 2026, they don't even have to wait till 2030 for this one, to remotely render your vehicle inoperable for whatever reason. They may think you're driving a little too erratically. They may think that maybe he's sleepy, maybe he's had one too many drinks. We're going to push the kill switch and your car is automatically disabled. This is going to be in all vehicles starting in 2026 sold in America.
Wow.
Yes. And then, so you can see how that's just the tip of the iceberg. A car maker saying, well, we're going to charge you $18 a month for heated car seats. Then I saw where Tesla a couple of days ago sent screen messages to their electric vehicle owners in Texas. On the computer screen in the vehicle, it told them that due to the high demand for electric power in the current heat wave, we request that all of our vehicle owners in Texas do not charge their vehicles during peak usage hours because of the heat wave.
Oh, wow.
So that could be taken one step further where they just remotely don't allow the car to be charged. Then you think about the smart meters that are in people's homes where it's not like the old meters. 75 to 80% of the homes in America are now outfitted with smart meters. And that means instead of
my home is not, because I refused it. I told him to go pound sand.
Good for you. You're among the 20 to 25%, but the number gets
smaller. I guess that probably put me on a list immediately that I'm a bad guy.
And they're probably charging you more, too. But every year, the number of people like yourself gets smaller and smaller, and anyone who buys a new house, you don't have a choice. It comes with a smart meter. But what this – I don't know how many people understand exactly how the smart meter works, but with the old standard meters – the meter reader would come once a month and read your usage, right?
Well, you're so politically incorrect. The meter man. How do you know it's not a meter woman? Or how do you know it's not a meter LGBTQ plus fluid meter reader?
The meter person.
Huh? What's that, Logan? Yeah. How do you know what their pronouns are?
Yes.
Logan said it could be the they meter reader. Not he, not she, they.
Right.
You need to really get with the time. You know what? I bet if social credit scores were going right now, the government would be taking money out of your account. Boom, 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 boom. Every time you open your mouth, your account would be going down.
It's going down by the second.
Always.
I know.
Yeah.
I need to stop coming on your show so often.
My show wouldn't even be here to come on once this is done.
But anyway, they're reading your meter once a month, and then they charge you for how much power you used.
Yeah.
But if you have a smart meter, they're reading your meter in real time. They know not only how much power you're using at any given second, but they know even exactly what appliances or what computers it's drawing from.
They know if I'm in the shower.
Yes. Yes. And if you have a smart meter on for the water meter, they know how many flushes you average per day in your household.
Well, that's probably about 25 or 30 for Logan,
So if you have guests over, Brandon, they can tell because they know, okay, well, he's got 10 more flushes today than his average. He must have a guest in the house.
Or just Logan's over.
Yeah, so they know everything about us through this data that they're scooping up at every turn in our
daily
life.
Pardon the pun of scooping up while you talk about flushing the toilet, but keep going.
Yes. The new way, they even want to apply this to, okay, every appliance as well has a meter in it. So your appliance is talking to that smart meter, and the smart meter is talking to the central computer.
So how about my refrigerator? Are they going to know if I got too much meat in my refrigerator?
Absolutely, yes. They could. Now, the new wave that just started in 2021, late 2021, early 2022, you won't believe this one, Brandon, is the smart gun. They now have smart guns that are wirelessly connected. They have a chip in them, and they're wirelessly connected to the internet, and they will only work, they only get operable if you know the code to punch in, and they recognize you, or it could be triggered to your fingerprint or some other biometric data. And so they know every time you will take that gun out and go to the range and target shoot. They could. That also means it could be hacked into and shut down, made inoperable, like all of these other things: the car, the appliance, your entire house. It goes on and on and on. People have these robotic vacuum cleaners. They're scooping up information. They have Alexa in their houses where they're barking orders. You know, turn on the lights, Alexa. Turn off the lights. Regulate the temperature, Alexa. All that information is being scooped up, every single bit of it. And it's being stored in perpetuity in the cloud. It's also being sold to third parties. And so while you may own these things, Brandon, do you really own them if you don't fully control them?
Oh, wow.
That's the question.
So they're going to probably get – makes you wonder if they're going to finally get where you don't buy a refrigerator, you lease a refrigerator, you know?
I don't think they even need to do that. I mean, that could
be. They buy it, but then you have to pay a monthly fee to keep it running.
Well, correct. And all of the software, I'm told, has gone mostly to rental-type arrangements. You don't really own most of the software that you buy anymore. You just lease it, and then you upgrade.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we do that. We do that now. We used to buy, like, Adobe Premiere or Adobe Audition. We would buy it. I'd pay,
right,
you know, $1,000, what it was,
right,
download it, and I'd own it. Then they got rid of that, you know, and now you have to pay so much a month to keep, and of course, the more people we add to our team, the more we have to keep increasing our license to use that piece of software.
Right. So all of these things, if you look at them in totality, what is happening here? You don't really own stuff like you used to, even though you're paying for it.
Now, what's really interesting is that then they can start deciding who can and cannot use this stuff.
Exactly.
So once we get on a bad social credit score, we can't edit TV. We can't edit audio because we're not allowed to use those devices. We're not allowed to
Bingo.
Use those applications. So pretty
Bingo.
Quick, we're like, wait a minute. We have no software to use because they all know who we are. We're all tied together with my digital ID. I can't edit television. I can't edit radio. I can't record stuff because I can't find an application or software to let me use it because they knew who I am and they don't want me producing anything.
A light just went off in your head, Brandon.
Yep.
This is what's happening. That's why lights are going off for everybody who's reading this article.
Think about it. So now I can't have a cell phone because I could have a cell phone, but all the apps and everything else is not going to work.
Rendered useless. Right.
It's just a paperweight now. Let's go down the list. What else? What else do we have that all of a sudden you don't have any control over anymore?
Well, I thought somebody brought another thing to my attention. I wanted people to add things after they read the article that they thought of that maybe I didn't. And one person emailed me and said, well, what about the insurance? They tried to get me to take a monitoring device on my car so they could monitor my driving habits. And if I did not take the monitoring advice, I had to pay 10% more for my insurance.
Oh, wow.
And I had the same thing happen to me when I switched insurance companies about 4 or 5 years ago.
What'd they say?
They offered me the device. I said, no, thank you. At that time, there was no extra charge, but that was 5 years ago. See, now a lot of these companies are saying, well, if you don't take the device and let us monitor your driving habits, then you'll pay 10% more per month for your auto insurance.
Good grief. So you're,
yeah, it's,
So you
it's very coercive.
So you think the you will own nothing and be happy doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take your house.
No, and they might not take your car, they might not take your computer, but they're going to watch you, monitor you, assess what you're doing.
So I mean, in other words, so the phrase really should be you will fully own nothing. So when they say you will own nothing, be happy, what they really should say is you won't fully own. You won't fully own something. It's kind of like when you buy your house and people work their whole life to pay it off, but they got to keep paying property tax to keep it. Well, do you really fully own it? Yeah, you own your house, but do you really fully own it?
Because it's these little intrusions, right?
Yeah, right.
And taken together, they all add up to the point where you really don't own anything. It started with your house and the property tax. Now comes the insurance company trying to monitor your driving. Now comes the
really you won't own anything, you'll be leasing. So think about your house. You work your whole life to pay your house off, but you still got to pay thousands of dollars a year in property tax. So really what you're doing is you're paying the government a lease payment to keep being able to live there.
Only difference is in these other cases, you're not just paying the government, you're paying all these corporations.
Woo!
Correct.
Because you see, they saw the Netflix model, right? And that,
yes.
You know, and they saw the Amazon model, that subscription base is a nice monthly cash flow, right?
Right.
So,
and if the auto company can do it for heated seats, think about what else they could do it for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you want to run your air conditioning, oh, that's another $10 a month. Because air conditioning, that's putting more ozone into the air. That's bad for the environment, Brandon.
Well, of course, this will also help them get around the increase in carbon taxes they're going to have to pay. So they're going to have to generate more revenue to offset the carbon taxes of the ESG, the environmental, social, and governance taxes. So here's a way for them to say, how do we think ahead of this and charge a fee?
Yes, exactly. Offsets, carbon offsets.
Wow. Anything else in the article we should talk about?
Just some historic, really interesting historic comments. Like back in the 1970s, Zbigniew Brzezinski foresaw the modern society coming exactly the way it has. He said, this was in his 1970 book, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, for people who don't know who he is, he was a very powerful globalist insider. He was President
Jimmy Carter administration.
Yes, yeah. Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. He was a professor.
And who's his daughter? Who's his daughter?
She's a very prominent journalist, mainstream corporate media journalist.
Married to Joe Scarborough, right?
Mika Brzezinski, right.
Married to Joe Scarborough, right?
Yes, and they have Morning Joe, the Morning Joe with Mika show. On MSNBC, they're very, very influential. And her father, Zbigniew Brzezinski, said in 1970, quote, the technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date, complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. So when you look at the Internet of Things with all these algorithms and AI-driven devices, what are they doing? They're getting up-to-date information in real time on every citizen. They're monitoring and assessing that citizen, and all they need to do now is implement the social credit scoring system, and bingo, you've got global tyranny on your hands.
Absolutely you do. I'm going to share a few things with you. Let me see. Who am I thinking of? It's in my book, Grave Influence, The 21 Radicals. B.F. Skinner, I think it is. Let's try B.F. Skinner. Let's see if that's it. All right, let's go to B.F. Good old B.F. Good old B.F. Skinner. Let's see. All right. Let me try another control F. All right. Here we go. See if this is it. Yep. All right. B.F. Skinner, the behavioral psychologist. I won't get into all that. I want to go to the part about tracking. Here we go. According to B.F. Skinner, he's the behavioral psychologist. According to Skinner in Beyond Freedom and Dignity, his vision postulates a new sort of haves and have-nots. Man plays two roles, one as a controller, as the designer of controlling culture, and another as the controlled, as the products of a culture. How about that, Leo?
Yes.
And then we wanted to find out, in a publication titled Technology and Outcome-Based Education in Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Education describes this changing role. This was years ago. Machines are becoming the information givers of our society. Since professional information givers of the past may quickly be replaced by these machines, teachers need to define themselves and act as diagnosers, prescribers, creative climate makers, instructional designers, coaches, and learning facilitators. Teachers must stop functioning as information givers, putting learners in rows, trying to transmit information through worksheets and lectures. That was 20 years ago that I found that.
Yeah. Well, there's one like 75, 80 years ago. Can Logan show the quote from Aldous Huxley in my article?
Yeah, I can show your quote from Aldous Huxley.
Okay.
Let me go there.
This is from 1931.
1931, all right. Where down the page is it? Where are we at here?
It's down below. You'll see it's all black with white letters.
Okay.
Further down. There you go.
All right. The perfect dictatorship. You know what's really interesting? I was just watching an old black and white interview today with Wallace, not Chris Wallace, his dad. What was his dad's name? Mike Wallace.
And Aldous Huxley, yeah.
I was watching that interview today.
I've seen that interview. Yes, it's great.
Old black and white photo, video of Mike Wallace interviewing Aldous Huxley. That's funny. I was just watching that this afternoon. The perfect dictatorship would have the appearance of a democracy, but would basically be a prison without walls in which the prisoners would not even dream of escaping. It would essentially be a system of slavery where through consumption and entertainment, the slaves would love their servitudes. Now, you know what's so interesting is he said that in 1931, but we have Harari with the World Economic Forum saying, we will enslave them and keep them happy through drugs and computer games. He says it will be through consumption and entertainment.
Basically the same thing. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The subtlety of this type of tyranny, I think, is what throws people. They can't grasp the big picture because it's coming, death from a thousand cuts and from a thousand different angles, and none of them by themselves, Brandon, seem all too terrible. It's only when you add them all up that you get the idea. Finally, it clicks. We're being enslaved.
Look at this. This is from my book, Grave Influence. As early as 1968, it's a year before I was born, early as 1968, the, quote, education reform movement, quote, laid the groundwork for its future policies. A report from an educational conference at the time reveals the agenda of the educational elite. 1968, folks. The teacher will have disappeared, and his policies will be taken by a facilitator of learning, focusing on attention on the prime period of learning. From infancy to age 6 or 8, he, the student, will never be graduated. Here's a speech from 1969, the 22nd Annual Teachers Education Conference, University of Georgia. Dean Corrigan predicted that Skinner's, B.F. Skinner, the behavioral psychologist, B.F. Skinner's, quote, teaching machines will pace a student's progress, diagnose his weaknesses, and make certain that he understands a fundamental concept before allowing him to advance to the next level. Our next lesson, end quote. And of course, by weaknesses, what do you think they mean by weaknesses here?
Well, Brandon, think about that quote you just read in the context of Dr. James Giordano's speech to the cadets, where he's talking about not only mapping the brain, but accessing and affecting the brain, quote unquote.
Yes.
And so with today's brain technology, they're going to actually go in and determine a child's weaknesses according to whose standards? Theirs.
Yes.
The things we might consider strengths, they would consider weaknesses.
Yeah.
And then they're going to try to change that.
And that would be that we're not complying with the LGBTQ+.
Yes.
We don't believe in climate change.
We're not tolerant enough of certain.
We're not for open borders. We're too America first. Those are our weaknesses that need to be changed.
Exactly.
And the computer system can track it. Now, that was going back to 1968, You know, here's one. Professor Kenneth Goodman, former president of the International Reading Association, wrote to President Jimmy Carter denouncing programs based on the philosophies of behavioral psychologist B.F. Skinner because many were being funded by the U.S. Department of Education. So this would have been during the 70s when President Carter was in the White House. Here's what he said in his letter. In behavior management, outcomes are assumed or arbitrarily determined, and the behavior of human learners is shaped, conditioned, reinforced, extinguished, rewarded, or punished until the learners achieve the target behavior.
Right. It's just like Pavlov's dog.
Yes.
You punish or you reward based on the outcomes that you're seeking.
Now, if you don't conform to their consumption, their driving pattern, everything, they're going to punish you until you conform.
Technocracy is all about implementing a high-tech system of punishments and rewards.
Yes.
That's the social scoring system right there.
Yep. He went on to say to Jimmy Carter in that letter, President Carter, today computers and specialized software can track and correct students who exhibit the potentially incorrect responses even without the aid of a teacher. I think that's me actually writing there. Okay, look at this. 1963. We're going way back. Under a contract with the U.S. Office of Health, Education, and Welfare, this was before we had the Department of Education, the National Education Association managed the Technological Development Project. It published a statement of what it was working on. Here it is, 1963. Another area of potential development in computer applications is the attitude-changing machine. So Dr. Bertram Raven in the psychology department at the University of California, Los Angeles, is in the process of building a computer-based device for changing attitude. A team of experiential psychologists under Jeremy S. Berner and B.F. Skinner created MAN, a course of study to mold children's social attitudes and beliefs along the lines that set them apart and alienated them from the beliefs and morals and values of their parents and local community. That was the assessment by Congressman John Conlin of Arizona on April 9, 1975, on the House floor. Representative Conlin hit the nail on the head. This is me writing. Skinner's program learning focuses on setting children apart and, quote, alienating them from the beliefs and moral values of their parents, and quote, particularly if those parents have attempted to install in their children a biblical worldview. But let's go back to this quote. This was 1963. The National Education Association project was working on the psychology of a machine that could, well, reinforce the right beliefs.
What's the matter, Brandon? You mean you don't want your attitude changed?
Well, no, I really don't. I don't.
That lends new meaning to, you know, the mother, scolding her child and saying, you need an attitude change.
You need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, adjustment, right.
Here's Chester M. Pierce, professor of education at Harvard. This was 1972. Every child who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he enters school with an allegiance toward our elected officials, our founding fathers, our institutions, the preservation of this form of government that we have, patriotism, nationalism, sovereignty. All this proves that children are sick because a truly well individual is one who has rejected all these things is what I would call the true international child of the future. Folks, this is 1972. Doesn't he sound like he's describing America First people right there?
Absolutely, yes.
He enters school with an allegiance to our elected officials. Well, maybe not those today, but certainly our founding fathers, our institutions that we, of course, used to respect, the preservation of this form of government, a constitutional republic, patriotism, nationalism, sovereignty, meaning national borders. Yeah. Wow. And then I won't go any too much further, but October 1999, education reporter Phyllis Schlafly reported that the state of Massachusetts had developed a computer tracking system to follow personal data on every student in the state. The Massachusetts Department of Education calls it the Student Information Management System.
Yes, we are all just human capital, Brandon,
yep.
to be managed by these self-described elites.
Yes. Well, look at this. This is April 15th, 1970. Do you remember the Washington Star? As a kid, I lived in Northern Virginia outside of D.C. And I remember the day the Washington Star put out its last publication. But the Washington Star, as it was called, 1970, April 15th, had this. It featured an article titled, Set Up Data Bank, Allen Urges Schools. It was by John Matthews. Matthew quotes then U.S. Commissioner of Education, James Allen, is encouraging local school systems to have a central diagnostic center. Quote, to find out everything possible about the child and his background. The sinner would know just about everything there is to know about the child, his home and family background, his cultural and language deficiency, his health and nutrition needs, and his general potential as an individual. What do you think they would say about our potential as individuals when we were in high school, college age? I mean, elementary. I mean, that they would have us digging ditches. You know what? I think little Leo is a little too independent. He doesn't believe enough in collectivism and groupthink. He's a little much of a independent thinker. He's too free market. Little Leo here can't be someone that goes and works as an editor in a newsroom. Little Leo here needs to go on and dig ditches where he can't influence others or infect others with his discontent of the cultural Marxist system we're trying to put into place.
Absolutely. I was never a follower, Brannon, so I wouldn't have fit into the upper echelon of who they wanted to put into the important positions.
Yep. The article said, Allen suggests that professionals would write a, quote, prescription, end quote, for the child, quote, and if necessary, for his home and family as well, end quote. And how would the professionals determine which children need a prescription, right? Can you believe this? This was back in April of 1970 in the Washington Star. They've been at this a long time. But I think what they decided, Leo, is, you know what? We're not just going to focus this on children. And by the way, I predicted this in a couple of my books. I came out in my second book in 95 and I said, for those of you that think this is just for your children, think again. This is going to be for all Americans. That pathetic human being, George H. Bush, who put us into this America 2000, which became known under Clinton, who uprighted as a Southern governor, Goals 2000, which went on to become known as No Child Left Behind and Common Core. You know, George H. Bush, along with Lamar Alexander, U.S. Senator from Tennessee who went on to become Secretary of Education for George H., he said we would be a nation of students. A nation of students. And I always thought, why would we need to be a nation of students, always learning, you know, lifelong learning, as they called it. That's
right.
Based on the Chinese model, by the way.
Lifelong indoctrination.
Yes. And they talked about when you lose your job, you go to a government building in your community, and they'll plug you into the next job because they'll have your database and know what your abilities are. Or they'll retrain you. So you're just human resource to be moved around. But how interesting that back in 95, I was saying, look, all of this stuff about tracking your kids, eventually it's going to be about tracking everybody, and yes, your hiring, your firing, your job promotions, and even your ability to travel will be on a social credit score like China. That was 1995 in my book, Reclaiming Nation at Risk, and I was mocked for that. And now look at where we are.
Yes, technocracy is all about cataloging and tracking and inventorying all things, all inanimate objects, all human life, all animal life. Everybody will be tagged with a number, traced, monitored, and assessed. And they will also be told at some point when they've been on this planet long enough. And that's what, socialized medicine is all about.
Wow. Look at this.
You're no longer a productive member of society. Time for you to check out. Just like Huxley's novel, Brave New World. He saw it all in 1931.
Yes, he did. This was 1970 as well. This was in the Dallas Morning News. Dallas Morning News, December 12, 1970, reported in, quote, School Survey to Begin, an article by Karen Elliott. By 1972, administrators expect to have complete computerized records on each of the 180,000 students in the district. When this is completed, they will begin compiling information on Dallas teachers and on students' home life and socioeconomic background. I mean, they've been going at this a long time.
Oh, decades and decades. It's been a 100-year plan.
They just decided at some point to quit focusing on the only the kids and go to everybody. And look, here is 1994. This is a group, the IEEE, published a summary of the abuses that occurred by them. And it says, one, the collecting of psychological, medical, sociological data on students and their families without their knowledge or consent via the NAEP, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. I was telling the audience last night, in the mid-90s, I was saying the National Assessment of Educational Progress, which is a random test given to random students across the country, known as the Nation's Report Card, I predicted in my books, in the early 90s, mid-90s, that this would become a national test, and then they would create a national curriculum to teach to the test so they got the best scores so your community and state could get the most federal money. And indeed, that's exactly what Congress, I'll show it to you here, Congress came out in this report, I shouldn't say Congress, this committee came out in this report right here and said that we should go to the National Assessment of Educational Progress as a mandatory for all school kids in America, a government test. Wouldn't Hitler love to have a national test, which would then drive a national curriculum so you could teach to the test?
Yes, he would, and he would also like to have all of these high-tech monitoring systems that he didn't have back then.
Indeed, he would. All right, so Leo's article is right here at leohoman.com, leohoman.com. New insight on Klaus Schwab's You Will Own Nothing and Be Happy, How Artificial Intelligence and the Internet of Things Will Control Everything You Do in Life. Very interesting.
We still have time to push back, people.
We do.
That is that headline is not meant to give people no hope. We can still push back against these invasive, intrusive technologies.
Absolutely we can. Absolutely. All right. Thank you as always, leohoman.com. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Brandon.
L-E-O-H-O-H-M-A-N-N. L-E-O-H-O-H-M-A-N-N. Two N's on Homan, leohoman.com. All right, let me remind you real quick before we keep moving here, a couple things. I'm going to talk to you about Hamas in America Part 2. Look at this. We got another big shipment coming in next week. Every day I'm checking on the warehouse. How are you doing? How are you doing the orders? And they are doing very good. It's not a lack of product because I went ahead and bit the bullet and bought. My wife was like, you're buying how much? And she's like, where are you going to put all that? And I'm like, I am tired of not having enough to fill the orders or running out too fast. We're just going to go all in. I think our people want this. They're showing they want it. So we're just going to bite the bullet and get it. And so we got a huge amount. And the guys out in the warehouse were like, you ordered how much? And that was a few weeks ago. And then I said, when you get this much down, you let me know, because then I'm ordering the next load, because I don't want to run out, because I want to keep going as fast as we can. We're still in about a 3 to 4 week period from the time you place your order, because it takes a long time to pack this up, because some of you are ordering 3 months, 6 months, a year, and that's a lot of buckets to pack up. That's a lot of buckets. So, and we can only do so much in a day. It takes a lot of time to pack this stuff up and take it to the center to be put on the truck. So anyway, get your order in now if you're interested before prices go up, or before, you know, something happens and there's a trucking crisis or more costs go up to ship due to, you know, fuel prices. You know, oil goes to $200 a barrel. Fuel's going up, which means shipping is going up, which means the cost of products and everything are going up, right? So again, I would say get it in while you can get it and while you can get it at a better price. It has a 25-year shelf life. You can just, again, click emergency food supplies. Click all emergency food supplies. You can see it. 1 year, 4 weeks, 72-hour test kit if you want to just try it. 6 month, 3 month. And again, you're not buying a pig and a poke here. It's going to tell you exactly what you're getting, a great description on each of these, so you know exactly what you're getting. Also, we have emergency supplies. We want to think through. Now, I've been a distributor for Solo Stove since 2016. I think I told you the other day, talking to the guy in charge of distributors, he said, wow, you're the oldest distributor I've ever talked to. I'm like, well, I'm only 53. No, I mean oldest as in you've been with us since 2016. I'm like, oh, yeah. So there you go. This is the actual Solo Stove right here. Let me click on that. All right, and it's not very big. You'll be shocked at how small it actually is. And you put your kindling under there, your dead branches, whatever, some kindling, and you get your fire going. And then you can put your pot up on it so that you can heat the water. You're gonna have to think through this stuff. So I got freeze dried food, but how do I heat water? What if you had a power outage, right? How am I gonna heat the water? So this is the way that you can use this Solo Stove, get the bucket, start your fire, and then heat your water, and then make your freeze-dried food. So we have that. So we're kind of thinking through the things. And these are really the things I did several years ago for my own family. And then I said, you know what? I could think our audience would like this. We became a distributor. We have other options here as well. Ready 4-hour, 4-in-1 emergency solar flash, AM, FM weather radio with hand crank. All these items are there. Now, also don't forget our conference coming up the middle of October. General seating, priority seating, beautiful Lake of the Ozarks right on the lake. Look how gorgeous that is. Last October, the trees looked just like you see in this picture. They had not turned by the middle of October. The year before, they had completely turned all the fall colors. It was gorgeous. But it's kind of half a dozen of one six and another, which one do you want it to be? Because it was a really nice for a lot of people to come down to Lake of the Ozarks and to see all the beautiful rolling hills and the warm, warm weather, because the leaves hadn't changed yet because of the warm weather. And they were like, oh, it's so wonderful here. But the year before, it was also nice because the leaves had changed. So we don't know what we're going to get from year to year, but either way, it's beautiful. It's a great resort. You'll love it. You don't have to run around from the conference center to your hotel to the restaurant. It's all right there at one location. So again, you can check all that out. And there's another picture. You can rent boats, you can golf, you can horseback ride, you can go trail walking. The rooms are, all the rooms have been remodeled. And some of you guys, you can get rooms right on the, you know, there, it's just on the lake, so you can look right onto the lake. Think about drinking your morning coffee right there, huh? So again, this is a great, refreshing weekend. General seating, priority seating, whichever one you want. Dr. Peter McCullough, myself, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, Annie Cyrus, Lee Merritt, Dr. Woods, Terry Turchi, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston. There's the hotel phone number. Make your come to the Worldview weekend at Margaritaville. Doesn't sound right, does it? But it was Tantara Resort since the 1960s. Then they went through a name change. But our contract is with Tantara Resorts. So anyway, it is there. Use the code WRLD to get the room rate that we've negotiated. Make sure you book soon so that you can stay there. Now, if they get filled up, there are other resorts and there are other hotels in town. And some people did have to go somewhere else and just drive over from their hotel resort to this resort. But if you want to stay on the grounds, I urge you to get booked early because they will fill up, okay? So party seating, general seating, etc. Now, we were just talking about all those things I just showed you on that PowerPoint slide. That all came out of Grave Influence. So all those quotes I was just giving you with Leo, with the Grave Influence PowerPoint slides, that's all in this book. This is the book I wrote in 2008, came out in 2009, 368 pages, hardcover. You can't believe how much is in this book. This is one of those books you'll read three or four times. It's one of those books you might read once a year, okay? And it's as low as $3.99. That's by the time we pack it up and ship it to you and pay the kids to do it and store it and all, this is really right at our cost, all right? We didn't do this to make money. We did it in hopes that you would say, wow, a $20 hardcover book for as low as $3.99? I'll buy quantities and give them away. That was the reason we did it. It wasn't to make money. It was to try to educate people and win this information war. And again, it's a project of my foundation. So if you appreciate my foundation, you can help us with projects like that by simply going to wvwfoundation.com and support what I'm doing. And same thing is true with some of the stuff we do in the Ozarks at the Ozarks Conference. Our Ozark Conference banquet on that Thursday night, there's zero profit in there. Our luncheon on Saturday, there's zero profit in there. A lot of the things we do, there's zero profit. We're just covering our cost. My movie Brainwashed America, you can watch it for free at brainwashedthemovie.com. Doggone it, the man gives away his books at his cost. He works in no profit on his Thursday night banquet at the Ozarks. No profit worked into his luncheon on Saturday at the Ozarks Conference. Giving his books here away, his documentary online to watch. Well, why? How do you do that? Couldn't do that too many years ago. We had to sell everything and make our profit off that stuff. But when people started supporting us and being so generous with our foundation, I said, you know what? If they're going to be this generous, let's just start doing everything as much as our cost as we can. That's a great feeling. So you wonder, how is it we do all this? Because we have people that say we're trying to save America. We're going to join in on him doing these projects and making it available at his cost or free. So again, you can take part in some of these projects like the giving of this book out there at this cost. Again, hardcover, 368 pages. Again, all those quotes I was giving you with Leo about tracking people and computerized since the 1960s is in this book. So check it out, wvwtvstore.com. All of this at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. All right, we're going to be joined by Annie Cyrus here in about 20 minutes. But before we do, what I'd like to do is I would like to go through the next part of Hamas in America, Part 2. Hamas in America, Part 2. Part 1 was last night. Look at this. I showed you this last night. The Palestinian Authority, 2003. In 2003, they're still translating Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, and distributing it in Arabic. 2003. Does that tell you what they think of the Jews? Oh, the media. The Palestinian Liberation Organization. They're just fighting for the civil rights of the Palestinians. you know, it's the Jews that are the bad ones. Oh, wait a minute. Who's the one distributing the book of Adolf Hitler talking about exterminating the Jews? Oh, yeah, that would be the Palestinian Authority. And let's not forget, we got a woman in the Congress, Muslim woman elected U.S. Congress, wraps in Palestinian flag. Yeah, that would be Rashida Tlaib. Remember her? Here's the Palestinian map I showed you last night. Where's Israel? Nowhere. Nowhere. We also showed you last night that there is no connection between what are known as the Palestinians today and the land. The Palestinians, as they call it, has never been anywhere, period. It's something they just made up. It was called Palestine. So, oh, we're Palestinians, and so we've been here. No. The Philistines. The Philistines is what a Roman emperor was referring to when he called it Palestine, the arch enemies of the Jews. The Philistines. We'll call it Palestine. And then along comes that Yasser Arafat. I'm the head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. We got to liberate Palestine from the Jews because they took our land. No. And we showed you last night the DNA that's been done that shows you the origins of the Philistines, the origins of the Palestinians. Well, the Palestinians want land that's not theirs, never has been. And where's the land of the Jews? Nowhere. Nowhere. Well, Hitler gave al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Palestine, who went to live in Germany and had an apartment in Berlin, and he put him on the radio to broadcast the Nazism to the Arab world. One such broadcast declared, quote, according to the Muslim religion, the defense of your life is a duty which can only be fulfilled by annihilating the Jews. This is your best opportunity to get rid of this dirty race, which has usurped your rights and brought misfortune and destruction on your countries. Kill the Jews, burn their property, destroy their stores, alienate these base supporters of British imperialism. And of course, that's what they did the night of the broken glass, known as Kristallnacht. They destroyed their stores, marked them with a J or a Star David on the night of Kristallnacht is what was really the beginning of the Holocaust, dragging the men out of their stores, killing many of them and dragging the rest off to the concentration camps, the beginning of the Holocaust. Well, this Jew hater, one of the founders, one of the big leaders, I should say, of the Muslim Brotherhood, al-Husseini, wanted to say, your sole hope of salvation lies in annihilating the Jews before they annihilate you. SS group, this man, was a witness. I mean, who could say his name for Pete's sake, but there it is. Was a witness for the Nuremberg prosecution. The Nazi officer himself testified, quote, the Grand Mufti has repeatedly suggested to the Nazi authorities, including Hitler, von Ribbentrop, and Himmler, the extermination of European Jewry. The Mufti was one of the initiators of the systematic extermination of European Jewry and had been a collaborator and advisor of Eichmann and Himmler in the execution of this plan. So, folks, who helped to be an architect of the Holocaust? The Grand Mufti of Palestine, Muslim Brotherhood dude, al-Husseini. Wait a minute. Muslim Brotherhood, what's that known of as also? 1928, founded in Egypt by Al-Banna, Muslim Brotherhood, 1928. They formed their terrorist wing, Hamas, 1987. Hamas shooting rockets from the Gaza over into Israel. They have terror cells right here in the U.S., Hamas. But you know them as Muslim Brotherhood. And in 1994, they formed CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. Our government, our federal government at one time knew this. It was on the side of you and me and exposing this and refuting this and opposing this. Not anymore. Now Hamas, known as CARE, gets first-class treatment from the FBI, Department of Justice, Congress. Oh yeah, they're heavily infiltrating all of our government agencies. He was one of Eichmann's best friends, said this SS officer who turned for the prosecution in Nuremberg and testified. He, referring to al-Husseini, was one of Eichmann's best friends and had constantly incited him to accelerate the extermination measures. I heard him say, accompanied by Eichmann, he had visited incognito the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Listen to this. He was one of Eichmann's best friends. Constantly incited him to accelerate. Hurry up. Come on. Kill more Jews. Hurry up. Accelerate this process. he would go incognito to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Adolf Eichmann, the architect of the Holocaust, declared to the Muslims. Remember, he's on radio. You 360 million Mohammedans to whom I have had a strong inner connection since the days of my association with your Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, that'd be al-Husseini. You who have a greater truth in the surahs of your Quran, I call upon you to pass judgment on me. In the hadith, the sayings of Muhammad, he declared, the hour will not be begin until you fight the Jews, until a Jew will hide behind a rock or a tree, and the rock or the tree will say, oh Muslim, oh slave of Allah, here's a Jew behind me, come kill him. Here he is, he's citing the actual verse. Eichmann to the Jews. To the Muslims to kill the Jew. And according to the Arab Higher Committee, in virtually identical letters, the Mufti in the summer of 1944 approached Germany, Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary to speed the extermination of the Jews by sending them to Poland, where the Nazi death chambers were located. This is al-Husseini. This is Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is Hamas. Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood is CARE. Remember, it was AOC, wasn't it? I quoted last night that said that CARE was founded after 9/11. Sorry, hon. CARE was not founded after 9/11, September 11, 2001. It was founded in 1994. She thought it was founded after 9/11 to deal with the Islamophobia. No, wrong you. But this is who many of your pastors, by the way, are hanging out with. Many of your church denomination leaders, your sheriffs, your police department leaders, your members of Congress, your state elected officials, they're all hobnobbing with CARE, representatives of Muslim Brotherhood that exterminated the Jews, and their leaders were actually involved in the architecture of the death camps, of the program, of setting things up in Poland, speeding things up. By the way, the Grand Mufti, as I told you last night, stopped several thousand children from being let go. Hitler was going to allow some of these Jews to be deported out of Hungary and Bulgaria and other places. And the Grand Mufti is like, no, you don't. They'll end up back over there in Jerusalem. Of course, he didn't want to call it that. Palestine, he would call it. Those Jews will go back over. Those Jews will settle over there. I don't want them in my area. And so a bunch of these Jews, that thousands of them that could have left, including children, the Grand Mufti made sure they didn't leave, that they were executed. Pamela Geller says, the Mufti successfully demanded that 400,000 Jews, listen, I just told you this. I didn't know this slide was even next. The Mufti successfully demanded that 400,000 Jews who are about to be deported to the Holy Land instead be sent to their deaths. 400,000. That's not merely a collaborator. That's a partner with great influence and power. This is Muslim Brotherhood. This is who some of your so-called public servants are kissing the ring of and listening to and having special days at your state legislature, in your state, many of you, and on Capitol Hill for Muslim Brotherhood representatives to come to the Capitol in states and in D.C. to share what they want in legislation. Well, what do you think they want? They want things like laws for hate speech, so that the things I'm saying tonight, I would be prosecuted for. By the way, I could not say these things in Europe on radio and television or in Canada. I could indeed be arrested and charged for what I'm saying right now. And that's coming to America if we don't wake up. Coming. Why is Sean Hannity not tell you this? Why does Sean Hannity never do a show like this? Why does Laura Ingraham never do a show like this? Why do most of the talking heads in America or on conservative talk radio never do a show like this? I'd love to know your thoughts. Right now, look, in fact, I'll tell you, here's what I want to do. Right now, go to frankspeech.com. For those of you watching live, go to frankspeech.com. Here's the player. I'll refresh the page so it's up to date. That's Leo. He's not here anymore. All right, so here I am right here. So go to frankspeech.com. Go to the comment right there, and you tell me right now, I'm out. I got to watch my 19 pre-woke version of Wrath of Khan. Okay, well, good for it. You're out. All right. Why do you think Sean Hannity and these other guys never watch or excuse me, never talk about what I'm talking about tonight. You tell me right here. I'd love to read some of your responses. Why do you think these people never do that? I'd love to know what you think. Is it ignorance? Is it cowardice? Why do they never tell you that you have some of your own elected officials kissing the ring and working with some of the biggest jihadis in America and the world that murdered countless Jews? Millions! Let's not forget about what they have done to Christians. What they've done to Christians in modern time and through the ages. But even since the founding of Muslim Brotherhood, 1928. Do you know what? You want to know what Muslim Brotherhood founding in 1928 in Egypt? You want to know what they did to Egypt? They destroyed Egypt. They have burned the churches. They have raped the women. They have cut off the heads of the men. They have made them stand and watch their daughters and wives be raped unless they would recite the Shahada and convert. And my friend Usama Dakdak, who speaks fluent Arabic, who was born and raised in Egypt, can tell you and document for you these stories. That's Muslim Brotherhood. That's who many of our law enforcement partner with, Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, and your elected officials. And how many of them know? How many of them know what I'm telling you tonight? How many of them, if they knew, would say, wait a minute, my police department, my sheriff's department, we're never going to partner with them again. I had no idea the history of that group. I want to know how many of them would say no more, or how many would say, hey, I don't know if I believe it. Or, you know what, that was so long ago. I'm sure they're different now. Well, why not bring in the KKK? Why not bring in the KKK to work with your sheriff department and your police department? And your church denomination, the KKK. Because the KKK, how do they feel about the Jews? How did the KKK feel about people of color? How did Hitler feel about people of color with his eugenics program? Would your police department and sheriff department work with the KKK? Why don't you bring in a Nazi group? You think your sheriff department or police department? Well, let's get a training session from the KKK, and next week maybe we'll bring in a neo-Nazi skinhead group. Can you tell me the difference between the skinhead neo-Nazis, the KKK, and the Muslim Brotherhood? Can you? Because there seems to be a lot of similarities here, doesn't there? And their hatred of the Jews. And their hatred of Christians. And their hatred of people of color. The goals of the Muslim Brotherhood today. In 2009, on Al Jazeera television, Muslim Brotherhood leader Yusuf al-Qaradawi declared, "The last punishment was carried out by Hitler. Allah willing, the next time will be at the hand of the believers," meaning the Islamists. 2009, on Al Jazeera television, Muslim Brotherhood leader saying, "The last punishment was carried out by Hitler. Allah willing, the next time will be at the hand of the Islamists." So let's not forget again, Muslim Brotherhood founded in 1928. They founded Hamas in 87, CARE in 94. Now here is the introduction, then we're going to go to Annie. And Annie Cyrus, born and raised in Iran, knows all about this. We're going to get her to give a report card on what she thinks I've done the last couple of nights. This is the Covenant of Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, written in August of 1988. Okay? This is their own document, Hamas. Which is CARE, which is Muslim Brotherhood. Quote, "Our struggle against Jews is very great and very serious." By the way, here's what I'd like to know. How many liberal Jews support interfaith dialogue with Muslim Brotherhood? A lot. Sadly, a lot of liberal Jews are supporting interfaith dialogue with Muslim Brotherhood. Are they so ill-informed to know that this is a group behind the Nazi Holocaust, as we just detailed, even from the Nuremberg trial? How many liberal Jews vote for the very same candidates supported by Muslim Brotherhood? It's time we get some of our liberal Jewish friends to wake up. To wake up. "Our struggle against Jews is very great and very serious. It needs all sincere efforts. It is a step that inevitably should be followed by other steps. The movement is but one squadron that should be supported by more and more squadrons from this vast Arab and Islamic world until the enemy is vanquished and Allah's victory is realized. Here's Article 13, the Covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement. Article 13 of Hamas. There is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought the idea was a two-state solution. I thought it was about a two-state solution. I thought it was about just give them enough land, for Pete's sake. Then the Jews pulled out of the Gaza. How's that going for them? Give up a little land for peace. Yeah, they want peace. A little peace here, a little peace there, till there's no more Israel. Just keep giving them little pieces. Well, the Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, is already saying there's no solution for the Palestinian question. By the way, Hamas, and Muslim Brotherhood, they sometimes have Hamas and some of these other groups sometimes have a little bit of a hard time getting along. The Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Liberation Authority, the PLO, and Hamas, okay? The PLO and Hamas are not the same thing. They're two different groups, but they often work together. The PLO and Hamas, those guys oftentimes have a hard time getting along as to who's going to be in charge and what direction they're going to go. Oh, but trust me, they're uniting their hatred of America and the Jews. But recently, the leader of the PLO and the leader of Hamas just in the last week got together again for the first time in 2016. So maybe they're about to patch up some of their little differences. Isn't that interesting? With all that's going on in the world, the meltdown of the world, Hamas leader and PLO leader, who've had some of their differences, are now about to patch things up since 2016, just in time for this global war that's about to break out. And this alignment of nations that are soon to come against the nation of Israel, according to Ezekiel 38. But they were saying there in their 13th article, there's no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. Jihad. Quit talking. You're going to do it by jihad. Article 6 of the Hamas Charter. Look at this. The Islamic Resistance Movement is a distinct Palestinian movement which owes its loyalty to Allah, derives from Islam its way of life, and strives to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine. Well, isn't that interesting? Problem is, there was no such thing ever as Palestine, if you mean by the Palestinian Liberation Organization. The Philistines, but that's not the same thing as the Palestinians today. DNA proves it. You're just getting a small taste of what's going on. And these people are in America. These people are in America. Article 2 of the Hamas Charter, if we go to Annie. Or let me know when we got her. The Islamic Resistance Movement is one of the wings of Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. Whoa, look at that. The Islamic Resistance Movement is one of the wings of Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine, which constitutes the largest Islamic movement in modern times. Article 2 of the Hamas Charter. Article 7 of the Hamas Charter. The Islamic Resistance Movement aspires to the realization of Allah's promise. No matter how long that should take, the Prophet Allah, bless him and grant him salvation, has said the day of the judgment will not come until the Muslims fight the Jews. When the Jew will hide behind the stone and trees, the stones and the trees will say, O Muslim, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. Article 7, Hamas Charter. But hey, by all means, since Hamas is care and Muslim Brotherhood, by all means, you liberal Jewish leaders, keep having interfaith dialogue with Muslim Brotherhood. Because after all they want to have is the trees and the stones to call out that you're hiding behind there so they can kill you. And you want interfaith dialogue? Hey, pastors. Hey, American pastors. All of you trying to have interfaith dialogue with Muslim Brotherhood, that's really Hamas, who want to kill the Jews. And don't think they're not coming after you next. Joining me now is Annie Cyrus, born and raised in Iran. Annie, I want you to give me a critique. What do you think of Hamas Part 1, Hamas Part 2? Am I lying to the people or am I speaking truth?
You are not lying at all. I actually, personally, I want to say this. Thank you. There is absolutely no one, well, except myself, out there who would risk everything to do the shows you did last night and tonight. So for that, thank you. Everything you said, factual. all of them. Well, you always talk fact anyways. But yes, it's all factual. The only thing, well, there are some things I would add, but the latest thing I would add is you already mentioned the hadith that talks about the last hour when Jews hide behind a stone, right? And the stones will start talking, telling Allah's slaves, being Muslims, to come and kill the Jew, right?
Right.
But here's another hadith, taking it back to Christianity. Also, the hadith says the hour will not come until Jesus comes back, breaks the cross, stands behind Muhammad, and follows him in prayer.
Oh, so Jesus is going to end up following Muhammad.
Breaks the cross, stands behind Muhammad, and
because
says,
the cross
brother,
wasn't necessary. Because the cross wasn't necessary, is what they're saying, right?
Exactly. Because, and then he goes with brother, telling Muhammad, brother, you lead in prayer. Just thought, I know, this is not about Israel or Jews, but the same Hamas, the same Muslim Brotherhood, the same CARE, the same Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Keith Ellison, Hussein Obama, Khomeini, all of them, they all believe in the same hadith. When it comes to Jews or Christians, doesn't matter.
And yet they say we're going to destroy our own country by our own miserable hand in the Muslim explanatory memorandum of the Muslim Brotherhood found in the basement of 80 banker boxes in Northern Virginia. After that man and his wife were seen filming the trusses of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in 2008 or whatever that whenever it was they found that. I think it was 2008. But I asked people to say why they don't think Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, none of them will teach this on Fox News. They sold their souls for money, says someone. Hannity is bought for traitor. They're deep state. Fear losing their job at Fox. They're complicit. Obama is Muslim, controlled press, because they have no spine. They care more about their paycheck and their faith in God is weak. They actually followed Christ. They would not be able to stay silent. Good point, J.D. They're Antichrist, part of devolution. I used to listen to Hannity, and after November 3rd, 2020, all Fox are traitors. Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham won't say anything because their paycheck means more to them. No, they're quite aware. They're not stupid. What does the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all evil. Fear, says another. The love of money is the root of all evil. Fox is the enemy and is trying to destroy our republic. They proved that during the 2020 election. God bless you, Brandon. Murdoch, says someone else. Hannity has said he does not know why they pay him so much. It is all about money. It is truly disturbing. BLM, they're ignorant and also afraid. It seems like Christians just want to evangelize them and not call them out. I wish there was balance. Most wouldn't even call out the vax as murder. Thanks for bringing truth to light. They're bought. They took a paycheck. And he wears a CIA pin. Acts speak louder than words. Many Jews are self-hating Jews, like George Soros. That's absolutely true. So is Karl Marx, self-hating. Aloha, Brandon. Many Malayos for all you do. Thank you for that. The others do not speak out about what you do because they are employed by corporate fascists who bow down to the global communists. They lack courage as well as knowledge. Many talk about money. What do you think? What do you think, Annie?
Well, on a personal level, I think they have allowed the earthly desire take over their heavenly reward. On a activist, or let's call me a investigative journalist for a second, they are too scared, one, to lose their paycheck, two, you know as well as I do, Brandon, you come out and say anything against Islam, Muslims, CARE, any of them, you're going to have to start looking over your shoulder because bounties start coming in. And that's, again, goes back to those who claim to be Christians, like Sean Hannity or Ingraham, Laura Ingraham. They need to realize when you allow your fear of death control your behavior and stop you from doing your mission here on earth, you're a coward.
Well, of course, I agree 100%. And of course, you know, I don't fear death. I don't look forward to it. I might have a little apprehension about the process of dying. I don't want to lay there and drown in my own, you know, bodily fluids, you know, my lungs filling up. I don't want to struggle to breathe and die like that. I know they have medication and stuff to make things more comfortable for people today, thankfully, in the dying process. But I'm not looking for the, I'm pretty apprehensive about the process, but I'm not afraid to die. So, you know, my position is they want to kill me or blow up my car. They'll be doing me a favor. I'm getting a one-way ticket to eternity. I mean, I can get out of this place. You know what I'm saying? So for when you realize that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and where you're going, you know, don't fear the one who can kill you, the Bible says, but who can throw your soul into hell. I don't have to worry about that because I've passed from judgment into life.
Exactly my point. That's the thing. A lot of people, sometimes close friends, misunderstand the fact that I have come to terms with death versus I have a death wish. I don't have a death wish. No, I actually believe the day I was born, my expiration date was
absolutely
marked.
Absolutely.
So on that note, my fear, my biggest fear is when I die and I don't have an answer for him. When I'm asked why I didn't stand up for my faith, I don't have an answer. When I'm asked why didn't I preach, why didn't I fight back, I don't have an answer. That is the biggest fear that overrides the fear of, am I going to die tomorrow? Are they going to get me now? I'll be honest with you. My fear is if they ever capture me and take me back. That's a different fear I have. I'm not afraid of dying. I am extremely afraid of ever being captured by them. Because been there, done that, I don't know if at this point I can survive it. But if that happens, I guess I'm just going to deal with it, right?
So for those who may don't know, because you were born and raised in Iran and you were a normal, typical teenage girl, you would sometimes skip on the street and sing, and your hair would come out from underneath your hijab, different things you would do that were normal behavior under Sharia, Islamic law. You would be thrown to jail. You would be caned. You'd be whipped. So you also were caught in a cab with only a male. So different things that are not allowed under Sharia, you found yourself in Sharia jail being whipped, right?
Correct. Yes, all of that happened. But the biggest, I guess, a little bigger issue right now is after all these years doing what I do, I have bigger tortures waiting for me. You know, I if I'm ever captured and taken back, even though I already have the final judgment, which is one is to be stoned to death. Wait, how are they going to manage that, by the way? So they're going to stone me and then bring me back and then hang me three times back to back? Anyways. It's the fact that they're going to torture me to get information out of me or to get me to do one of those fake under duress confession videos for them so they can broadcast it all over the place. But yes, bottom line is fear is there. More and more Christian Americans are cowering away from telling the truth, speaking out. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that Hamas being care today is so freely walking down our Congress, making decisions for us. They get endorsement from Congress members. They get their members into the Congress. They have Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib just running around doing whatever they want to do. As you said, push for Islamophobia Act and blasphemy laws in America. All of that is happening because we are not standing up. Because we are literally looking the other way because it's too scary to look at what's happening. It is what it is. Deal with it. Accept it. Then fight back.
What do you make about my comments about interfaith dialogue? Because we know that one of the leading scholars from Muslim Brotherhood, Syed Qutb, said that interfaith dialogue was one of their leading tactics to bring the non-Muslim to their side, not the other way around. And now we know, shockingly, we have police departments and sheriff departments and church denominations doing interfaith dialogue, saying, well, we need peace and harmony. Let's get the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims all together and find common ground. Muslims and Christians do not worship the same God. They do not believe the God of the Bible, in all honesty, when they're being honest, is the same as Allah, because they believe God would never have a son, never lay down his life for another person, and certainly would never take on the form of a man. True or false?
True, all of them true. Added bonus. Number one, we don't worship the same God because Allah himself in the Quran says Allah is the best of deceivers. Our God is not a deceiver.
Right.
Allah himself refers to Muslims who believe in Muhammad and Allah as the slaves of Allah. We are not slaves to our God.
Very interesting that he says he's the best of deceivers, because when you go through the list of the descriptions of Allah and then the descriptions of Satan in the Bible, and Usama Dakdak has done that on my website at www.tv.com. Allah is Satan is what he's done a series on. Do you agree with that? The descriptions of Allah in the Quran and Satan in the Bible are describing the same person?
Actually, on my show here on Lindell TV, about 3 weeks ago, Live Up to Freedom, I did a full segment, 30 minutes, of going over the verses that describes Allah, and then I concluded, tell me if this is not Satan.
So you agree as well then?
Absolutely.
So when you say that you and I and Usama are some of the only people doing what we're doing, Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, but they're very few. A lot of folks are getting quieter and quieter. Have you noticed that some of them are getting quieter?
Of course. It goes back to fear. Here's the thing. There was a time when we still had the threats. Yes. Hamas was after us. ISIS was after us. Al-Qaeda, IRGC, all that. But we were blessed to have President Trump in the office, in the White House, who just a blink of an eye from Soleimani, and Soleimani was sent to hell. Now we're under administration that is handing us over in silver platter. So that not having any backup or any safety or any security from your own administration adds to the fear, where a lot of anti-Sharia activists, a lot of ex-Muslims are just fading away because they don't want to end up. I had this conversation with you privately, Brandon. I said, I am worried that our own government is going to hand me over regarding when this nuclear deal goes forward, because they're going to agree with Iran's justice system, and I'm a guilty criminal under that justice system. They're just going to hand me over.
So Iran could say, we want certain Iranians that are in your country now, and your name's on that list. And they say, okay.
Exactly. Because part of this agreement, part of the terms that Iran put on the table is you need to respect our justice system. And if you have someone convicted of a crime, you cannot give them shelter in America. Well, we're all convicted. All of us ex-Muslim Iranians are convicted of committing a crime simply for leaving Islam. That's the first crime we committed. So they're going to just hand us over. Now, it goes to where a lot of activists, a lot of journalists are quietly going away, hoping that they're just going to fade away from the list. That goes back to having an administration that could not find a way to care less about us.
So radio networks, talk radio, you don't hear this on a lot of talk radio. Do you think that's because if they talk about this on given talk radio stations, they get fired, they lose advertisers?
They will be fired. They will lose advertisers. Honestly, they might even be questioned. They might be labeled for hate crime. Remember, CARE is going after three different cases right now, trying to prove hate crime for someone who criticized CARE. Listen, CARE won a case against Laura Loomer, even though CARE is the one who attacked Laura Loomer. So a lot of these radio stations, they rather not lose their comfort, their paycheck, their life, their family, I don't know, whatever it is they have, they rather not lose it, so they don't say anything. And also there's the category of Christians who believe that we are supposed to love our enemy. By the way, we're supposed to pray for our enemies, not love our enemies. Just a correction there. But okay, for sake of argument, we're supposed to love our enemy. So let's keep loving on Muslims until they behead all of us. That's the other category that don't talk about Islam, because not all of them are bad. But their own holy Quran, written by someone who took notes from a pedophile, explains how 551, O you who have believed, do not take Christians and Jews as your allies, as they are each other's allies. I don't know how much more black and white it needs to get.
And that's coming from one of the hadiths?
No, Quran chapter 5, verse 51.
Okay, you were saying that came from someone who took notes from the pedophile. So you're saying that someone wrote down what Muhammad was saying, the pedophile Muhammad was saying, and that's what you're saying.
Yes, because remember, Muhammad couldn't read or write. So somebody else had to take notes when Muhammad, at night, when nobody could witness, went and got all the verses and came out and told somebody to write them down.
Do you think let me ask you this, Andy, true or false? Can I say these things on radio and television in Europe, Great Britain, or Canada?
No, absolutely not. You'd be in handcuffs, going to jail.
Because of their hate crime laws, their laws.
Yes, we have examples such as Tommy Robinson, Pastor I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on his name. You interviewed him. He's in Canada.
Pastor Art Pawlowski.
There you go. Just two examples. So, no, you can't say any of that there. But here's the good news. At least when you say it in Europe or Canada, you go to jail. Out there, you say something like that in Middle East. You lose your head. just saying. You know, everybody's celebrating today on the news. Oh, Saudi Arabia is going to allow direct flights from Israel. So is that going to solve all the problems?
Yeah, like you're going to have a lot of Jews hopping on planes running to over to Saudi Arabia. Are you kidding me?
No, here's my question. Let's say they even do. How many of them do you think are going to disappear or get arrested for spying for Israel?
Yeah.
I mean, we do have 62 American citizens in prison in China, Russia, and Iran, all of them charged with spying for America. Really? We're that bad at training our spies that 62 of them were arrested?
So they're just arresting them and labeling them as that.
Yes. And when their families are right here in America in front of different offices and different Congress members begging for help, we're just ignoring them because America comes last under current administration.
All right. So let me ask you this in closing. Why is it important that I'm doing this series, Hamas in America? Why is this important?
Because number one, people need to know that we have failed as a nation. We have put down our guarding our Christian values in America. So therefore, now we're facing a very dangerous enemy that is not here to rearrange our life. No, it's here to completely take over our lives. And if we don't agree, to kill us. So hopefully, doing what you do, they will get to understand that, and then they're going to start making proper moves, which is educating the rest of the people, reaching out to their representatives, standing up and saying, no, somehow, possibly, we might be able to take our country back.
LiveUpToFreedom.com, right?
LiveUpToFreedom.com.
And your show's on Lindell TV every day at 2:30, right?
Yes, and our new show is on Sundays, right before your show, Let's Be Frank, myself co-hosting with Michael Lauer and AJ Wilms.
7 p.m. Central, then I come on with Worldview Weekend Hour at 8 p.m.
Correct.
Sunday, 7 to 9, powerful 2 hours with Annie and myself.
Correct.
All right, Annie, as always, we appreciate it, and you'll be with us at our Ozarks Conference coming up the middle of October. Thanks for all you do, Annie.
Absolutely. Before I go.
Yeah.
I just want to do this, not because it's Brennan. Just in case you missed this, don't miss it. Grab this book, buy it as a gift, give it to everyone, force them to read it. Marxianity.
Thank you.
This
Annie.
Is going to get you educated.
Thank you, Annie. And that book, folks, was $20. We ordered up a bunch of them, made it just $4.99. Again, virtually at our cost by the time we ship it out to you. You can get that at WVWTVstore.com. Grave Influence as well, folks. And if you like what we're doing, WVWFoundation.com to make a contribution of any size or support us through the mail with a mailing address there. WVWFoundation.com. And then before we go, let's not forget, Logan, let's show it. The breaking news tonight. We're the first to offer after Mike Lindell. I bet you Diamond and Silk talk about this next. Diamond and Silk, if you're listening, Mike told me to tell you, you can talk about this. You can use my code B66. If you listen to their show, you can use their code. But there you go. We're excited. Just got launched. My coffee. Thanks for listening, watching. Take care.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month? Because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you so much for your support.